Bibles with you, let's look to the Word of God. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19. The Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted. Repent and be changed, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Amen. So refreshing is coming. A reviving, a renewal is coming. And when it gets here, the Bible is charging us, challenging us to be prepared for it. And the way that we prepare for it is we just vocally, inwardly, outwardly, just let the Lord know we're sorry for anything that we've done that has broken the rules. Anything we've done that has offended our God and our service to the Lord. Any sin or malfunction or whatever, any weight that has wronged the Word of God, been contrary to the will of God, and we repent of that. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us and give us grace and mercy, so that when you sweep through here with your refreshing, that we can apply that to us as well. Amen. Right? Amen. And so let's look at Acts 17 and verses 22. I'll tell you what, that's lengthy. You've stood long enough. Somebody shout, "Lord, help him." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Because he needs it." God bless you as you're seated just now. Praise God. Acts 17, let's look at 22 through 27. Paul stood in the midst of Mars. That does not mean he was on a spaceship and he made it. That's a place that's named right down here. And he stood on Mars Hill and he said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're just too superstitious." There are people like that. You got your wives' tales. You got all these things that you got, the black cats crossing your path. People turn around and go back home, miss school or miss the job or miss whatever they got to miss to keep from crossing the same path the black cat did. And you know, you can't go bass fishing until the dogwoods are just barely blooming, because that's when the bass hit and you go, you're wasting your time until, okay. And so he said, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" And there are people, of course, in America that say, "Well, I would never worship an unknown God." Well, you know, we better be careful, because if we follow after the traditions of men, we may very well find ourselves worshiping an unknown God. Because if you're going to add more than one God to the God that we already have, you're already worshiping an unknown God. Whew, you may be seated. Thank you for that resounding response. Amen. How many of you believe we're serving one God? One Lord. One faith. One baptism. All right, "To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship." Amen. Now, Paul's not cutting them. He's not trying to hurt their feelings and saying, "You're just ignorant." Amen. Because the word "ignorant" is not a shameful word. Amen. Some people are very wise in particular areas, and so they're not ignorant in that area. Some people are very wise in one area and ignorant in another. So you can be ignorant and wise at the very same time. And so, though we have made it a very negative word, it is a word to be cautious of. And if we are that way in the Word of God or in our relationship with God, then we need to wise up. Amen. And because he said, "Therefore you ignorantly worship unknown gods, him declare I unto you." Praise the Lord. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Amen. When Paul said he's not dwelling in the we don't worship a God that dwells in the temple. We don't worship a God that we worship with our hands. That does not mean sit down, shut up, be still, be quiet, never say hallelujah. What he was saying is that in those days they were making images of gods. They were making images, and they would put these images up, and people would spend hours in front of them and worship those images. And they would shape these gods with their hands. That's the type of hands he would. We're not here to shape another god. We're not here to worship the image of another god, but we are here to raise our hands to the true God. We are here to, the true God does dwell in this house. Amen. Amen. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed. So the times have been determined before they're appointed, and the bounds of their habitation and where they live and where they're bound up. Paul's going somewhere here, but Paul is so intelligent that sometimes he'll walk away from our mentality and we're like, what did he say? What he's saying is that men get bound and they get inhibited and they get inhabited and they need loosing. Well, he just got done saying that the Lord already knows about that, and he can take care of that. He can meet that need. That they should seek the Lord. Now, this is what we've got to do to get this done. If happily they might feel after him. In other words, Acts chapter 3 told us there's a refreshing coming, and now Acts 17 is telling us if we can seek God and be happy about it, if we can seek God and have a good attitude about it, if we can seek God and do it for the right reason, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He's right here. He's not far. But he is a perfect gentleman. And he inhabits the praises of his people. I'm telling you, there is nothing wrong with any of us that a little bit of worship can't take care of. Amen. Because it gives him permission to come in and to meet the need. Does that make sense? Amen. Seek the Lord. And if we can do it happily, and if we can feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Praise the Lord. Here's what I want to talk about this morning. Amen. Refresh your joy. I kind of threw it out last night at prayer meeting at the end when I talked about joy just simply means Jesus, others, and yourself. I like that. I like using that. Amen. I spoke that in a meeting was held at a general conference, and we caught the van back to the motel afterwards, and people were talking in the van, and a young lady was speaking to someone beside her, and she didn't even realize that I was the individual that spoke it. And she said, the man said, joy, Jesus, others, and yourself. That's what he meant. And that's good. And that's what we need to do. I'm like, all right, I got through to somebody. Amen. So what we need to do, and that's not particularly the joy I want to speak. I want to talk about happiness. I want to talk about refreshing renewal. I want to talk about something that's sustaining through every situation. Amen. How many of you could use, it's easy to lose, but how many of you could use a little bit more joy? Notice whose hand's up first. Amen. Praise God. All of us could use just a little bit more joy. Amen. When the rapture takes place, I would love for the Lord to call home a happy church. I would love for the Lord to call home a church with a silly grin on their face. Amen. And so for us to have joy. And so what I want us to do today is I want us to refresh our joy. Amen. And I'm not even on my notes yet, and I'm not going to be a long time, but I'm just telling you, amen. We cannot let circumstances dictate our joy. You got to get more mature than that. We got to get older than that. We got to get a little bit more substantial than that. Amen. We can't be degrading in the eyes of God just because something wrong has happened, something bad has happened, something maybe even evil has come against us. Amen. We cannot let that beset us. In other words, that means that we can't let it shut us up. We can't let it sit us down, and we cannot let it stop us, because there's a danger when bad things happen and it shuts our joy off. Because the first thing the devil wants to get is your worship. And when God's people are happy, they have no problem praising God. But it's when bad things happen to good people that sometimes we have the tendency to shut down. And when we do, again, let me remind you that the devil comes back and says, I'm gaining ground. I see it on their face. I see it on their neighbors worshiping, their neighbors running the aisles, and they're sitting there like a wooden Indian. And the devil's saying, ka-ching, because he's winning again. Amen. Well, why don't you just go? You say, well, if I act like I'm happy, that's a hypocrite. No, that's the devil telling you that you're acting like a hypocrite. And you know what? You can take what the devil says and believe the exact opposite. So if he's calling you a hypocrite, you must be one of the greatest saints of God he's ever confronted. You must be one of the greatest children of God he's ever come against. Amen. And so why don't you surprise him and break out with a shout? Why don't you surprise him and break out with a worship? Why don't you surprise him and break out with a dance? Hallelujah. Amen. There were three things that Paul had that made him happy. No matter what he faced or what he went through, as long as he had these things, he was happy. Paul was not afraid. He was not worried, depressed, or ashamed. The Bible said, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them about the scripture, about the gospel. He reasoned with them. He reasoned with multitudes, and multitudes believed. Why? Because he was not afraid, and he was serious. And when you're serious about being serious about serving your God, nothing, come hell or high water, can take away your joy. Amen. And so, 2 Corinthians 11:25, Paul was in, the Bible said he was in labors more abundant. The Bible said in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths often. Hallelujah. Five times he was beaten with 40 stripes except once. Three times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned and left for dead. They knew he was dead, and he probably was, and the Lord brought him back alive. Amen. That's probably why Paul wrote there that the Lord knows what to do at the end. Hallelujah. He was shipwrecked three times. He was a night and a day in the deep. He was in perils of water. He was robbed. The devils of my own countrymen attacked him. The heathen attacked him. False brethren attacked him. There was times he was hungry. There was times he was thirsty. There was many times that he was fasting and he was cold and he suffered nakedness. Amen. Listen, we need to understand that no matter what you go through, we can have exactly what Paul had. Was there ever a time that you were offensive to God? Notice whose hand's up first. Was there ever a time that you were so, I mean, notoriously rebellious against God? Amen. Now, I'm not trying to find you out, and I'm not trying to shame you or anything, but do you ever use God's name in vain? Did you ever, and all of this, we were not purposely against God. We didn't go around saying we hate God. Amen. But all of our actions and our deeds and our attitudes and character was very, very offensive to God and disobedient to the Lord. That's the kind of life that Paul lived before the Lord, read the book of Acts, before the Lord knocked him off of his high horse. Literally. And blinded him. And they had to lead him around. And it took an apostle, the same kind of apostle that Paul was causing to be stoned and killed and martyred. So Paul knew how offensive he was to God. But when he found the truth and came into this apostolic, this Pentecostal way, amen, he understood that I have got to be just as forceful about my praise and my adoration and my worship toward my God that I was on the other side of Calvary when I was offensive to God. Some of you were bad. Some of you were horrific. Some of you were horrible. Amen. Why don't you just let us know how horrible you were by the way that you're so fanatical about your God? If you could turn it on for the devil, why don't we turn it on for Jesus? Look out, make a way, because the Holy Ghost is coming and anointing is coming, overcoming is coming. Amen. We are not ashamed of the gospel. We're excited about what the Lord has done. Can you say amen? Amen. I got a scripture I want to share. This, I didn't give it to the guys. Give me Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 17. I got a word for somebody. Second Chronicles 20 and verse number 17. Amen. Listen to this. Look at this. Take this. Take heed to this. This is awesome. Amen. When I say this, some of you are going to be excited. Not everybody, because this is not for everybody right now. Eventually, it'll be for you. It may not be for you right now, but it is for somebody right now. And so when I say this, I already know you're going to be very, very excited. Amen. You shall not need to fight in this battle. You're in a battle that you don't even have to fight. Hallelujah, everybody's got victory. Praise God. Amen. No, you're flying under the radar. Amen. But I know when you've got this many people, somebody's in a struggle and somebody is in a fight. But I'm telling you, my God said, you don't even have to fight this. Amen. I'm not saying give in to it. I'm not saying surrender. I'm not saying raise the white flag. Hallelujah. Amen. I might be saying raise the American flag. Praise God. I'm just telling you right now, you don't have to fight this battle. This battle may be bigger than you are, but it will never be bigger than my God. Somebody let him know you believe that. Come on, young people, you can give it more than that. My word. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you shame everybody else about their praise? Why don't you embarrass everybody else about their praise? Amen. And get your worship on. Get your praise on. Hallelujah. Lift up the name of the Lord. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still. And see the salvation of the Lord. He's with you. O Judah, that's us. O Jerusalem, that's us. Whereby we cry, Abba Father. He's adopted the Gentiles and now we're the modern day Jews. And I praise God for it. He said, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Hallelujah. You've come in here like a force. You've come in here with your sword shield. You've come in here with your helmet of salvation on. You've come in here with your feet prepared with the preparation of the gospel. You've come in here with everything you need. And when you go out with a force. You face the world with a force. For the Lord will be with you. Somebody shout me. Refresh yourself today. Amen. Besides all these things that are without, that which come. Paul said, I haven't just suffered those things. He said, I've suffered some more things. That which cometh upon me every day. The care of all the churches. Besides all of this, Paul had to take care of the church as well. Romans 8 and 1. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at this. Praise God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Chase the Spirit. If you chase after the Spirit, you're going to get the things of the Spirit. But you don't know what I'm going through. No. Amen. And it doesn't matter. I'm not going to fight your battle either. I got mine. Amen. And you're not going to fight your battle either. The Holy Ghost of God. Because you're going to chase after the Spirit. And when you chase after the Spirit, the Lord slows down a little bit so you can catch it. One of the most elementary stories I've ever heard in the Word of God was when Jacob wrestled the angel. The Bible said he wrestled with the angel all night long. And Jacob probably got the attitude, well, I might win this battle. I'm still in it. And it's been all night long. And finally the angel said, look, Jacob, it's over. It's getting daylight. You know, I mean, we've done this all night. And so and Jacob said, I'm not letting you go. He had him in a chokehold. He said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And the angel said, boink. And Jacob walked like this the rest of his life. And it did. He did. And the hollow of his thigh, it just shrunk. And he had a limp the rest of his life. And so the angel, he said, you're not Jacob anymore. You're Israel, because you're going to be the father of many nations. And I didn't fight you to see if you could win. I fought you to see how tenacious you could be. I fought you to find out what kind of will and attitude you had. I fought you to find out how far you would go to get the blessings of God. Amen. And you're chasing after the Spirit, buddy. You chased after the Spirit all night long. I'm changing you. I'm rearranging you. Your name's not going to seem the same. Your walk is not going to be the same. Your talk is not going to be the same. I have refreshed your joy. My, 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 my. Verse 9, chapter 12, we don't have to go there. I glory in my infirmities. Paul said, I've learned how to shout during my troubles. I've learned how to worship during my troubles. Amen. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. There's the key. Paul's giving us a key. He's saying, look, I've been through this. Hear what I'm saying. I've learned how to rejoice in my infirmities. When everything is wrong, I don't sit on God. That's the time that I need to worship Him the most. That's when my praise becomes the sacrifice of praise. That's when it's not the joy of praise. That's when it becomes the sacrifice of praise. And when you offer my God sacrifice, His fire falls on it every time. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Modern version, don't worry, be happy. Hallelujah. You cannot worship and worry at the same time. Listen, I understand something, and that is this. Waiting is tough. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't want to be with my wife in traffic. What are they waiting for? What is going on? I said, honey, settle down. But look at that truck. He's pulled out. He's blocking everybody. That's good, because all these people are going around us like crazy, and it ain't right. Waiting is tough. How many of you have a short fuse? Yeah. We got a few confessors. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And we still got those flying under the radar. Hallelujah. But, you know, we're just waiting is tough. Amen. When God wants us to wait, sometimes we replace it with, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on. I don't even know if I'm going to make it. Well, you're not. Not until you understand that He's right here with you. And that He may be taking you somewhere in the Holy Ghost. He may be trying to burn something out of you that needs to be burned out. Take away something. Add something that needs to be added. Regardless, He's doing something here. Hey, listen. The gates of hell shall not prevail. So the devil does not have control even in your dilemmas. The Spirit of God does. And so worship Him. Praise Him. Honor Him. Show up even in your dilemma. Amen. Hello? Listen to what God said. This isn't me. This is God, me repeating what God said. I will not forsake you. That's enough. I don't know about you, but that's enough. I'm sorry that didn't have a fancy cliche to it, and I'm sorry that didn't have a riddle, and then you finally got the point. Amen. But I'm telling you, the Lord said, I am with you even till the end of the world. That means He's with you in your sorrow. He's with you in your pain. He's with you in your gain. He's with you when you lose it. He's with you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Somebody refresh your joy. Somebody refresh your joy. Refresh your joy. Renew your strength. Stir up the gift of God that is within you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Do not go outside of God to fix it. Do not do that. Do not go outside of God and try to fix it, because it makes it worse every time. Because you're adding dilemma to a dilemma that God has already gotten under control and working. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't pout and shout at the same time. Hallelujah. Apostolics had this praise thing on a long time before anybody else did. Amen. And it's so silly. The world tried to steal it. Laundry detergents are trying to duplicate what God gave us. So long ago that some women were washing their clothes on rocks, and products such as, Jesus is the rock. He's the only one that can cleanse you. They started with a rock. Even in dish detergent, they're trying to replicate what God does. Does that sound silly? Well, how silly does this sound? Now there's cheer. Now you can go to the grocery store and get a whole bottle of joy. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I wash dishes with joy, there's not a lot of joy there. I finally hit the button. Amen. And if joy doesn't work, you can try pledge. They're trying hard. Hallelujah. You can try pledge. And if that doesn't work, go get you some shout. I should have brought all that stuff and just threw it out there at you. Now get your shout on. Get your joy. Get your pledge. Get your rock. Hallelujah. And I can go on and on. Amen. Hallelujah. $1 million bars and things and all that. People are not as happy as they want to be. Predicament, situations, monetary gain, money loss, climates, things and feelings are not going to be your happiness. You need something that doesn't change with the seasons, like fashions and modernization. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and for Jesus also offered unchanging promises. Again, He said, lo, I am with you, even when you're low. Hallelujah. Amen. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I have the keys to hell and death. Hey, death, who's your daddy? Jesus is. Amen. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If I go away, I shall return again. Thank God. You got to get me out of here. Amen. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and whatever you need me to be in between. Amen. Let me give you 3 quick points and I'll be done. Amen. Number one reason to be happy, sin stains have been washed away out of the fabric of our lives. Amen. And we didn't go to the grocery store and get shout. We didn't go and get bounce. We didn't go and get joy. Amen. We got all that right here at the altar when the Lord poured it out. And it's, somebody say, it's the real deal. Be of good cheer. Thy sins have been forgiven thee. Be of good cheer. The real cheer. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not asking housewives to quit using cheer. Praise the Lord. Amen. Continue. But understand that we have the real cheer. Acts 2:38, sins are washed away. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Amen. I couldn't do that, but he did. How do you feel since you've come out of the wilderness? I was captured by something bigger than I was. You don't handle sin. Sin handles you. But the Lord can handle everything. Listen, if you're heroes or zeros, we need to try Jesus. He never fails, he never falters, and he never comes short. Secondly, the reason we should be happy is truth. I have the truth. Amen. It's not the truth just because I preach it. It's the truth because the Word of God says it. And I am very cautious and careful about staying in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the truth. And the Bible said that the truth shall make you free. Hello? Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Love it, rejoice over it, and shout about it. Your faith in God is going to be your victory. The victory that overcometh the world is your faith. Storms, struggles, wind, rain, troubles, trials. My God is bigger. Give him a chance to say, peace be still. And give him a chance to say it when he's good and ready to say it. Troubles are like bubbles. They're going to pop and they'll be gone. Amen. And don't you pop out just before they were going to be gone. If I know where he is and he knows where I am and I can talk to him, then everything is going to be all right. Mark 6:50. Amen. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Somebody needs desperately to see Jesus so you can stop being intimidated, so you can stop being so afraid, so you can stop being so worried and downtrodden, and understand that life is life and the world is the world. Amen. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Either way we win. Let's get a good look at Jesus. Amen. You may be a good person, but you need more than a title. You need the truth. And then thirdly, hallelujah. A way to be happy is the fact that we all know everybody needs a hero. And my hero's name is Jesus. Let's stand together. His name is Jesus. We need more than suits and shoes. We need more than boyfriends and girlfriends and footballs, baseballs, and rifles and guns and singers, wrestlers and hobbies. You know what we need? We need a champion. The devil will always remind you of your past. When he does that, just remind him of his future. And let him know that with the devil, you have no future. But with God, you have no past. When there's a flood, there will always be an ark. When there's bondage, there will always be a Moses. When there are giants, there will always be a David. The devil tried to burn them, but the furnace couldn't kill them. He tried to feed Daniel to the lions, and they would not bite him. They tried to crucify their Savior. He rose again the third day. Romans 8:1 told us, after the Spirit, get after the Spirit. It's one thing for us to have the Spirit, but it's another thing for the Spirit to have us. So God has committed himself to come right on in. We must commit ourselves to come right on out. He submitted himself to us. Why can't we submit ourselves to him? For the joy, for the joy, for the joy. Amen. And I don't want you to ever forget, if you live for God hard, it's easy. But if you try to live for God real easy, it's too hard. When it seems as though you can't, there's a Savior standing by that says you can. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And when I bring Him joy, He will bring me strength. And nothing floats His boat like a little bit of praise and a little bit of worship and a little sincerity and a little devotion and a little commitment and dedication and relegating our lives to Him. There's a gift for somebody here today. It's a free gift. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you again. How many of you have initially received the Holy Ghost? Have you received it like my Cody did when he was little? I'll never forget it. In a service in the old building, he was about 4 years old or so. He came to me after church. He was all beaded up with sweat. He said, Dad, he said, I got the Holy Ghost 4 times. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's still getting the Holy Ghost 4 times. Praise God. Amen. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you the first time. How many of you got the power? Can I say something else? You're going to get the power again after the Holy Ghost comes on you the second time. You're going to get the power again after the Holy Ghost comes on you the third time. Again after the fourth time. Again after the fifth time. Again and again and again. Hallelujah. Paul told Timothy, he said, renew your strength. Renew your strength. In other words, Timothy, you find a place right now and you get the Holy Ghost again. They're fixing to cut Paul's head off. Timothy can't take it. Timothy is his son in the gospel. Timothy's mad. He can't believe they're going to do this to such a great man of God. And Paul pointed his finger at him. He said, you let them do what they're going to do. But as for you, you stir the gift of God up within you right now. You get the Holy Ghost again. You just get the Holy Ghost. How many of you want the Holy Ghost again? Come on. Come on. How many of you want the Holy Ghost again? Why don't you shake it off in the fire? Why don't you let the devil have his depression? Why don't you let him have his worry? Why don't you let him have his trouble, trial, and tribulation? Amen. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to lift up the name. We're going to praise the name. We're going to honor and exalt the name. Come on. Turn your Holy Ghost loose. Speak in that heavenly language. Praise Him with everything you got. Worship Him with everything you've got. My Lord.
Going up to the high places.
I'm going up.
Going up to the high places.
I've got to go up.
Going up to the high.
We're going up.
Going up to the high.
receive the Holy Ghost. God. If I could put it like the Bible said, that's what I'm talking about. Just kidding. Praise the Lord. But that was what the Bible was talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amber got the Holy Ghost this morning. Sister Stephanie is discipling her and teaching her Bible study. Amen. Hey, we are plunging into a great year coming where the Holy Ghost is going to move and the Spirit of God is going to continue to fall and the fire is going to be recognizable at Landmarks United Pentecostal Church. Amen. 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 And so I understand she is also going to be baptized in that wonderful name of Jesus this morning. Praise God. Amen. Amen. That is, I'm telling you folks, I cannot describe what it's like. You know, all through the New Testament, the Bible said they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost because they heard them speak in tongues. That's how they knew. Because they heard them, because they saw them, because they heard them. And to lay hands on her a moment ago and say, in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost. And she just began to speak that heavenly language. It was just, amen. How do I know she got the Holy Ghost? Because I heard her speak in tongues. Amen. And it's for you. It's for your sons and your daughters. And the Bible said, whosoever will, let them come. Praise God. Amen. Well, I'm glad to know that in those thousands that are going to receive the Holy Ghost today before it's said and done, amen, we added to that number. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Somebody shout, yes. Amen. Holy Ghost, go with us, be with us, help us, walk with us. Let us take the joy of the Lord with us. Let us not be caught leaving it here at the house of God, but let it go with us, Lord. Give us good cheer. Give us good bounty. Give us the rock. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Come early for prayer tonight. Let's have great service again this evening.